Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Tamara L. Thank you for tuning in to State of the National that airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's episode, we have National Grand Sheik Tariq Bey, founder of the Moors Order of the Roundtable, author of several books, and renowned lecturer throughout Amexum, who will discuss the importance and principles of nationality. Freedom is your birthright. Once again, we had these little technical difficulties. Hopefully, we can go ahead and get it started. But one must understand, and overstand the it relates to one's unalienable rights based on the foundation that never changes, called the laws of nature and nature's laws. Let's just go ahead and get this started and see if we can bring Grand Sheik Tariq Bey onto the line. All right, Grand Sheik, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now. Islam.
Oh my God! You know, this is like the third time a charm with Blog Talk, but we're going to get this right. So we'd like to thank you for accepting the invitation to speak to the national this evening.
Thank you for the honor of speaking with you.
Now, we have a series of topics we'd like to discuss tonight, just to further help shine some light on the importance and principles of nationality. Freedom is your birthright. Now, Grand Sheik, let's first off get started by expressing and explaining what is nationality.
Well, nationality is derived from nato or natus, which is derived from the Moorish Latin word natus, which is G-N-A-T-U-S, meaning to be born. And so nativity and the nature-oriented relationship to the matriarchal principles of Asiatic African social and governmental principles and culture are rooted in association with the study of nature and of natural birth. That's B-E-R-T-H and B-I-R-T-H. Therefore, nationality is rooted in one's connection to nature and to a specific mother kinship or nation, etc.
Now, is that also the same as when you say pedigree, which is the root,
yes,
everything comes from the root?
That would deal with pedigree, yes.
Okay, so nativity, nationality, pedigree, as well as which one we know as what, Josanguinous?
Yes, and this is back to, and the answer or my response is based on the knowledge of our ancient culture. And so it's in that perspective. And from that perspective is derived the most of your current or contemporary views of nationality, although not necessarily explained as bluntly as I just said it.
Okay. Now, this is 2020, and there's a lot of national battles, nations that are having financial wars, things of that nature. Now, why is nationality important at this time? Why should it be at the forefront of one to understand those principles and the understanding of nationality? Why is it important at this particular time right today, like no other before?
From the principle of political orders, and in perspective with Midgard Earth, because this particular Earth is known as Midgard, and so that's back to a true perspective. So what we're dealing with is Midgard Earth actually being under Unum Sanctum operations of the Popes of Rome, whereas the Popes of Rome have claimed ownership of Earth, Midgard Earth, and of the peoples of the Earth, according to the hybrid Europeans claim of conquest over the Canaanite Moabite peoples or Moors, and in perspective with Midgard or natural peoples and original peoples, their Sheba Saba cosmology culture, and as it pertains to the fundamental intersocial relationships of kinship among the Aboriginal and Indigenous Asiatic peoples, nationalities associated or rooted with the tribal families and origins, and with their or our conjoined Gnostic relationships to the cosmos and to Midgard Earth land. Hereditaments, both corporal and incorporeal, are directly related to and reflected in the perceived or preserved knowledge, respect, and generational maintaining of the traditions and culture accordingly. And so recognize that for the most part, such knowledge has been held back from the masses. And this holds true especially and is especially prohibited from the conquered true heirs of the land. And therefore, descendant relationships and juristic heirship knowledge principles were and are prohibited via the controlled educational institutions and their associated agencies as established under the Roman Curia institutions via the U.S. corporation operations in North America. And since they've been stealing everybody's estates and conquering the resources of our lands, therefore all nations or tribes basically have been subjugated artificially under the Roman Inquisition operations, and they've been stealing everybody's estate, and therefore the economies are really based in the culture of the moon and its relationship to growth and water and life on earth and the sun, and the suppression of that and the claiming of that energy and power is really the economy. That's really the economy. And so they've been both suppressing the knowledge of it and then also claiming the resources. Now that the nations of the earth are becoming more cognate of the nature of governmental principles and the matriarchy nature of life and inheritance, inheritability, they're starting to rebel, and this is reflected in the politics that you see going on right now with the world waking up to what real hereditaments are and thus what real culture and economy is. And so now you're dealing with the life forces, the elements, the jewels, the metals, the values, the real values on earth, and this is what's coming into conflict right now. And that's really what's going on in the name of economics.
Okay, now, during an introduction, I spoke of one's unalienable right that is based on a foundation that never changes called the laws of nature and nature's God. Now, you just spoke of its cosmology. Now, what are the cosmology principles of nationality that governs the nation?
So now you would go, you would deal with back to the people having a consciousness of the matriarchal principles of government in nature and on the planet Midgard Earth. And that must be put into that perspective in order for the people to really even have a more realistic comprehension of how the hybrid European colonists are approaching their what they would call their administrative governance over our estates, etc. And keep in mind, while they present some of the contemporary concepts that we look at relative to nationhood, the sovereignty of nations, i.e., because sovereignty actually relates to the activation of the chakras, of the seven chakras. That must be understood too, and I know that that's not generally taught except in amongst Gnostics and adepts around the world. And for the most part, they've kept that knowledge from the people. But we must look at some of these things in order to have a realistic view of what needs to be done for us to restore a lot of the principles and customs of the ancient ones in order to understand how we're being attacked by the hybrid alien Europeans who have been falsely claiming to be Americans and have caused so much problems on the planet Earth, etc. But again, that the issues of corporal and incorporeal hereditaments, i.e., the resources and the wealth of the earth, which is our birthright estate, has been claimed by many, falsely claimed under the Inquisition operations of the hybrid Romans, and this is what we're actually dealing with now. And so the restoration of that of those principles, that culture, a knowledge of the culture, a knowledge of the principles of governing ourselves in harmony with cosmology, which is actually the true culture of government and the laws of nature, is important, because that is also rooted in nationality. And I think a lot of times people just look at nationality from the perspective of a name of a people and a geographical location, from an anthropological perspective, when they need to understand nationality really involves the culture too, also the corporal and incorporeal cultures, which has for the most part been suppressed or hidden from the knowledge of the people. And this has much to do with the culture that's being reintroduced to the Asiatics of North America in relationship to the ancient Canaanite, Moabite, Saba, or Sabian culture.
Now, history has shown that in nation building, the inheritance is vested in the woman, and that woman mm-hmm. was the one who set the nation and the rules modeled around the woman building up the nation, appointing the lords of that nation on who would run their government, or who would run their government. Now, what
yes.
is the political function of nationality? What does the political function of nationality look? What does that look like? Now, we see it currently in a model that has been usurped away from the Moorish nationality. We see the picture of it, the fore picture of it. But
yes.
however, it's not in its true content, because it takes away the true vested inheritance of the woman. So what is the political function of a true of nationality?
Now, and this is actually a continuation or a repeat of what we just said.
Mm-hmm.
It is important for the people, contrary to what they've been taught in the contemporary formats of European colonial operations, of what nationality actually is and what the matriarchies are, which also we may be referred to as monarchies, and also may be referred to as the high house or the pharaoh's house, i.e., because it's based in really a knowledge of nature. And I think very often when most people look at or attempt to find a rational perspective to deal with the economic, social, political problems that we've been suffering for these last couple of hundred years, they don't take into consideration that we, for the most part, have been miseducated into the concepts of original government. And we're usually approaching our perspectives from the Roman curia perspective of the patriarchy of Rome, looking at the patriarchy perspective without understanding the cosmological of both moon and sun character that's actually structured in government. And that's important for that to be restored so that our people can look at this thing more properly and also understand how some of the hybrid Europeans actually keeping what you would call a power control over our people by always teaching national principles from a contemporary perspective that cuts out the matriarchy principle, which is the original structure of government. I think it is important for us to keep that in mind when we're looking at government today, particularly from the perspective of with the intention of restoring our lost estates, and also having a comprehension on what the hybrid Europeans are really thinking in the background from their secret societies and from their secret chambers when they're actually administrating over our states. Because keep in mind, what they have taught the people in mass, they themselves don't hold true to that. So it's important for us to get back to the principles of our ancient mothers and fathers in order to understand the aspects of government that they have been holding back from us by virtue of the Index Librorum Prohibitorum and the Indexus Librorum Expurgatorius operations, or what is commonly known as why did the European Romans hybrids go on this dedicated tear around the world, burning books and destroying as many libraries as they could in the Asiatic African countries, and then stealing a lot of the old cultural scientific books and hiding them beneath the Vatican, and then, pardon me, and then systematically over the years claiming the different cultures, the science and the mathematics and the cosmology to be of origin of hybrid Europeans when they actually were ancient sciences coming from our mothers and fathers, Canaan and Sheba, which is really the earth. And that is the truth. And we need to learn to stop crediting the European for earth culture that he has nothing to do with, and then assuming that some things come from him, and then many of our people dismissing some of those principles, thinking they belong to the hybrid when they actually are our ancient Sabian culture. And so we need to learn much about our ancient mothers and fathers so that we don't fall victim to throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which if you really study many of the scholars among us, that has been a practice with our people, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, i.e. some of the cosmological customs and associated ritual holidays that they've associated with the hybrid Europeans that are actually ancient Saba principles or ancient Saba customs of both recognition of cosmology, movements of the moon and the sun, which is also why North America was also historically known as the temple of the sun, of the moon and sun, because that's the root of the culture of the ancient ones here. And recognize that we've been here for thousands and thousands of years, not, you know, some recent years of European alien colonial operations that has been taught to the people fraudulently and has been the state of mind or the angle of thought processes that most of our people have been trained to come from when they begin to study the culture of government and jurisprudence, particularly in the Western Hemisphere, not knowing that the fundamental principles are cosmological and they're rooted in a knowledge of nature and the movements of the moon and the sun.
Speaking of being trained, I know for the past, well, I've heard for the past 40 years, you have been a forerunner in awakening many to the understanding of nationality. And now being the founder of the Moorish Order of the Round Table, establishing that foundation to help bring about the civic order of nation building. And today, you know, our people are so deeply indoctrinated into false stories of the government, birthrights, really not understanding birthright. Now, how would the knowledge of nationality benefit our people?
And this is a continuation of our same conversation. It will not benefit our people until they go back to the principles of our ancient mothers and fathers, because that has been the key of us having much of what involves us losing our estate, and also involves with the alien hybrid Europeans maintaining control over our states, because most of our approaches have been from the educational systems of his teaching, that are commonly known as his history perspective, which is definitely false. But I want to make this statement. It is very important for our people to recognize that one of the major reasons why the alien hybrid Europeans who have been pretending to be Americans have always maintained secret societies is so that they can study the ancient Sabian culture themselves and then try to get a knowledge of our mastery of the geometry and the mathematics and the knowledge of the elements of the earth and the knowledge of all the plant life on the earth and the knowledge of how it relates to us as a living being and how it relates to all living things on Earth, and at the same time do what all that they can from a political perspective of keeping our people from finding out the fact that they've been pretending and struggling for generations to actually imitate us, to be us, and then to remove us, and then to claim airship over our land. That is essentially what they have been doing, and our people have been deceived by those who have the Roman Curia members and those who have been assisting them as hiding their unum sanctum operations under the guise of what they traditionally have been calling racism and prejudice, which is a cover-up of really the birthright theft. And that is our connection to nature, our connection to the land, our knowledge of the elements of the earth, our knowledge of the plant life of the earth, our knowledge of how the healing of the plant life and their relationship to ourselves relate, etc. And of course, that is called paganism. And so this is, again, why the hybrid Europeans would always teach the Asiatics that pagan means anti-divine or something evil or something contrary to that which is natural, in order to get us to hate ourselves and to reject our own customs and culture. And therefore, a lot of the area of knowledge that our people really need to look into, they have been rejecting psychologically and politically, not knowing that they're rejecting their own culture. And that's a reminder. And so it's really very important for us to get our people to be more open-minded and to actually study the ancient Sabian culture, to really understand that that's us, and that is not the hybrid Europeans who've been claiming to be us. And with their Inquisition operations and their secret societies, that's what they actually been doing, studying us. And they may call it, they may call it Illuminati, they may call it Masonry, and give it a whole bunch of other different names. However, it is all Canaanite, Moabite, Saba, Sheba, Moorish culture. That's what it is. And the linguistic forms coming out of, you know, Northwest Africa and the Red Sea and the Nile that goes all through Africa from top to bottom and into North America. And keep in mind, you got to think, when you're thinking Asiatic Africa, you got to think of what you're looking at of South Asia now, which we call Africa, being in the Gulf of Mexico. And so you don't look at it from the perspective of there and here. You look at it as here or I am. So always think from the perspective of I am, and then take the culture back and then start learning the culture and start looking past the signs and symbols and the allegorical stories and the anthropomorphic presentments and actually start studying the movements and the phases of the moon and its relationship to you and its relationship to woman, because woman is the walking calendar, and getting back to the culture. And by taking the culture back, you'll be able to read through every diseased mentality, miseducation principle that they have been putting on humanity, because then you begin to know yourself. And when you do that, you won't need him and you'll start ignoring him. And of course, nature will take her place and start healing us.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what does Prophet Abdul Ali mean by the following statement? Because I think we want to go into some of this information too. Money doesn't make the man. It is free national standards and power that make a man and a nation.
Well, free national standards imply and invoke those forces that, you know, many of these maxims and principles and traditions and customs and hereditaments, corporal and incorporeal, that we've been discussing. And of course, when you're getting into the maxims and traditions, in the most mundane level, we talk about love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and we place them on the interlaced five-pointed Venus star, which in one of our major flags is placed as a green star in front of the red field, And, of course, we had other flags, too. That's not our only flag. Let's get that very clear. But that is the major contemporary flag that we've been using for over 20,000 years, although we have other flags with the different Moorish tribes, et cetera, and Canaanite tribes and Phoenician tribes and the different people that spoke the various Berber languages, et cetera, and the other different people of Hiqupta that we call Egypt going out into the world from the Red Sea, and we call them, they often refer to as Berber gypsies, all the rest of the people that stand Berber as a language group, but it essentially is used to imply that the peoples from Hiqupta or what you call Egypt were coming up through the Red Sea and going out into the world, and that would deal with, you know, the Canaanites, Moabite, Chaldeans, Phoenicians, et cetera, all the people here that's been here in North and Central and South America for thousands of years, and our relationship, keep in mind, you got to still put Africa right back into the Gulf of Mexico, so understand we were only crossing rivers thousands of years ago, so let's get over that stuff and stop thinking that the only traversing of the people and the Red Sea, which we also call the Mississippi or the Nile, et cetera, Red Sea, is a continuation of the same Nile, and most of it was actually dug by our ancient mothers and fathers. Parts of the river were not what you call in nature, they were dug. So we've been trading on those routes for thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years, and we need to get over it, grow up, and reclaim our estate first in the mental so that everything else falls in part, in place. And again, the hybrids, for the most part, maintain power because we keep giving it to them, because we keep thinking or allowing them to guide us through their general education board that was set up in 1902 by John D. Rockefeller and Frederick T. Gates, which was set up for docility training for animals and controlling chattel humans. It was deemed for labor and servile work only. Erudition, which was deemed for human learning and development, which is was at the root of the ancient mosque and temples of the ancient ones, erudition was taught before European colonial operations. And so the people need to know the difference between erudition and education, and that the deal of it is we've been under the General Education Board education system of docility training by these alien hybrid Europeans, and that's been pretty much the problem. And as we get back to those principles, learning what those principles actually are, see, not just talking about them, but learning what they are and reassociating ourselves and finding that it's in harmony with our nature because it's based in nature's God and nature's law. That's where that term comes from. It came from us. You know, we need to know that and reclaim that. And again, once you start getting into that, it'll become, you know, very clear because the Prophet Noble Dralee knew for the most part that the Roman Catholic Church bullies, which were imposed upon the Moors under the Inquisition against the Moors, which is hidden under the phrase Spanish Inquisition, and that with the invaders, Inquisition operations, which were founded in Index Librorum Prohibitorum and Index Librorum Expurgatorius, and knowing the iron hand social and political controls which were instituted by the alien Europeans, and they were put in place to suppress us, the defeated Moors, Prophet Noble Dralee knew that the ancient Sabian, Saba, Sheba, Gnostic maxims and principles would have to be restored into the consciousness of our people in order for us to restore our lost estates, to restore our power, and to restore our true gold, silver, and commerce roots. And thus a rational cognizance and cultural cognizance of the phrase money doesn't make the man, it is free national standards and power that make the man in a nation. So it must be analyzed from a Sabian perspective in order to really see the depths of what actually he was really reaching out to us. And that's why he also said the half has not been told. If I told you everything, you'd go back to sleep. It is known that we have been under the mystery systems of the dark priesthood of the General Education Board, and our people thought that they were being educated for human development when actually they were being trained as animals for docility training and for labor only.
Absolutely. Now, in my understanding of nationality and the research and the knowledge that I've learned upon your teaching, you definitely see the tangled web that has been constructed with, through the birth certificate, Social Security card, education, as you mentioned, land, security, such as mortgages, car notes, student loans, the utilities, hypothecation of utilities, just the resources and agriculture, our Moorish government, even the religious system that is at play. Now, when one understands the understanding of nationality, it frees you. Now, how can then you will see how nationality can be used to improve our life for our people. But until our people do not get to that point of being able to see all the various lashes, I call it a spider web effect. It's like all the, it's got the spider web in the center and all the different.
I think it has to do again where many of our people, due to the way they've been trained in the education system, they look at nationality as a restoration of some real true names of our tribes and peoples, and then an acknowledgement of geographical locations. And I think that's where their mind is usually limited. They're not thinking hereditaments, corporal and incorporeal, which would include not only the gold, the silver, and the commerce, but also deals with the Sabian culture. Because what I, one of the things that I recognize is that very often when people get into statements or they write articles about restoring or reparations and stuff like that, they're always talking about their perspective of what they think money is, and they're not actually talking about the Sabian culture, and therefore they don't even really have a true perspective of government operations or how to maintain society. It's more or less often coming from a boasting claim of the great things that the Asiatic Africans have done and the great rulers, as opposed to understand the Sabian culture and maxims under which they have operated that has been at the foundation of organized government for thousands of years, that most of them could not really even give you a knowledgeable dispensation of what they would call the Tahuti or what they would call the Hermetic or Thothian principles, and nevertheless have a knowledge of the application, because they most of the time only hear these things in words, but they really don't have the customs and traditions in a knowledgeable format. And that part must be restored in order to restore a knowledge of how to actually run government and actually have a greater respect for womanhood, understanding its nature, and get out of the Christian black code systems of male and female competition that they have taught to the people, that actually keeps the people divided and contrary to the real natural order of government, which is in fact a matriarchy in harmony with nature, with moon and with the sun.
Wow. Now let's take some callers. I have one particular caller I'd like to bring on the line. This would not be possible without him. I'd like to bring Brother Abdullah El Talib Mosey Bey on the line. I think this would be great. So let me go ahead and bring him on the line. Brother Abdullah.
Islam.
Islam Bey.
All right. Great job, man. Great job. Positive
Thank you for
respect.
Tuning in. State of the Nationals. Do you have any questions for our Grand Sheik, or you'd like to give any comments?
I mean, I did a wonderful job in explaining, you know, the fundamental concepts and principles of nature, which is the foundation of government and principles, you know. And just to elaborate, I have to elaborate on the concept of laws of nature and nature's God, and how to restore that concept and those principles to our people. and not to, and he's very, and he's right on that our people have been parroting statements and not knowing the fundamental foundation principles and how the application of the statement. You know, so we have to remove the parroting and get into the function and application. And it's definitely right on that the laws of nature, nature's God principle is ancient, and it's actually what we are the founders and of that principle by observing. Our epistemology, which is the foundation, which deals with how one knows knowledge, is our divinity. When in colleges, they teach epistemology in the branch of philosophy, but they teach it in the concept of observation. But our epistemology is our divinity. So I just wanted to give my little tidbit on that, and that you did a wonderful job in explaining these principles of nationality, and giving people a clarity and clear focus and direction of study.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Bay, for tuning in. We're going to take another caller. Okay, we're going to take another call. We have caller ending in 1659. Do you have any questions for Grand Sheik Taj Tariq Bey regarding the importance and principles of nationality?
Islam, Grand Sheik. Islam, sister.
Islam.
I've got a question with respect to what's possible for us in the near term, as some of us are studying with Brother Shem and Brother Abdullah about restoring governmental structure. I domicile in the area, what I think is the Algonquin territory, corporately known as Alexandria, Virginia. But my question is, Brother Taj, in terms of how we organize how we organize into political structure again, what do you see as some of those first fundamental steps in terms of us organizing?
The fundamental principles of organized government, much of which is already in place, is already related to us. And keep in mind, the fundamentals of organized government was not set forth by the hybrid alien Europeans who have been pretending to be Americans. However, I can't emphasize it enough, when and as we collectively get back into the ancient Sabean knowledge, and I say being, that's Sabean, and it's also referred to as Saba, and the earth is referred to as Sheba. And keep in mind, you know, like the allegorical stories of Mary and Jesus and stuff like that, Mary is actually Sheba, which is Saba, which is the earth, and sometimes referred to as Sabbath. So it's not just the seventh day, it is the seven principles, et cetera. And even that, the way that's been presented has been a little skewed, and the people, once they go back into the Sabian knowledge, they will add or go back to the matriarchal principles that all this is rooted in, and also a study of the phases of the moon in relationship to woman, and woman being the walking calendar by nature, not by opinion. And our harmonics and our hereditaments, corporal and incorporeal, all inculcated and tied to that. And then the structure of government and the reasoning, the cultural and the moral reasoning of its structure will become obvious. And I think it is sort of like when we get out of the data perspective of looking at government and start actually living the culture, then the power comes with it. Because then that it indicates that the being understands, overstands, understands, comprehends, and can regurgitate the principles in the nature of the self-being. And that's what we're seeking. In other words, when we get sincere with our studies, nature herself starts healing, and it just starts becoming natural with us, and we'll answer our own questions. Therefore, man, know thyself.
That's right. All right, now let's take a call, a question from caller number ending in 7037. All right, caller, do you have a question for Grand Sheik Tashreeq Bey regarding the importance and principles of nationality?
I have no questions at this time, Islam, Tamara, and Grand Sheik, and Abdullah. Just saying hi. So.
Hi. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
State of the National. All right. We'll take a call from number ending in 1098. Do you have a question for Grand Sheik Tashreeq Bey regarding the importance and principles of nationality?
No, thank you. I have no questions, but I was everything was very interesting, and I'm learning, so thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for tuning in. All right. I know I see a call in line. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. This is Dr. Naila Gilliam, founder of House of Reawakening Mind. So I'm going to go ahead and bring you on the air.
Islam, how are you?
We're good. Thank you for tuning in. It's the State of the National. So yeah.
Questions? Have no questions. Just listening intently, and trying to get my thoughts together, you know, for tomorrow's show with Grand Sheik. But just listening intently to the interview and the information that he's sharing with regards to the importance of nationality. So, great interview.
Okay, great. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll tune in tomorrow as well at House of Reawakening Minds.
Yes.
Okay, let's see if we can have a caller. They have a question, comment for Grand Sheik Tashreeq Bey. All right, let me bring this caller on, ending in 4510. Caller, do you have a question for Grand Sheik Tashreeq Bey regarding the importance and principles of nationality?
People greetings, Islam. I am Brother Hassan Ghazio Bey here at Morocco and Northwest of Maxim. How are you all?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, Islam. I was just going to say all I can say is I wholeheartedly agree, exactly. And Brother Tarjan, watching a lot of the lectures you have presented and reading the material that you have presented as well over the years for us to observe and meet you in, as well as meeting Prophet Noble Jirali in his literature, one can definitely see when, you know, taking it seriously to go and research the material that you have presented realistically, and not, you know, just taking, you know, what you're saying and going and see it for ourselves, and, you know, how you suggest, you know, take what you're presenting to, you know, try to prove it wrong. And in doing so, I can definitely bear witness in saying, yeah, in order for us to solve our issues as far as governing ourselves here on this celestial body that we call Earth, and as you refer and said truthfully, Midgar Earth, it's just, you know, so evident, and really realizing that knowing the astrology and the cosmology is just definitely important in us governing ourselves, because you immediately do get back to the moon when you're speaking life, as far as, you know, how we're even getting here, you know, just that movement, you know, pertaining to the monad, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to just say I completely agree. And if I did have a question, I guess I could ask one for, you know, all that are listening. My question would be just in general, how can one tie in man know thyself with cosmology and astrology and what Prophet Noble Jirali did in his example with man know thyself in astrology and cosmology? That would be my question. I yield for right now just to hear the answer, Islam.
Yes. One of the things, now when the Prophet Noble Jirali prepared the Holy Quran questions for Moorish children, etc., and prepared the Holy Quran, he said, which is true, he said, he prepared it, and he's dealing with the ancient Sabian knowledge coming down from our ancient mothers and fathers, which has been held back deliberately by those who have been keeping this knowledge in ancient Hindustan, which he'll say is India, Africa, and Europe, etc., because he's really saying, which we know once we study, that the world maintained this knowledge and knew this knowledge and kept it down, kept it back from us. And you'll see a lot of people who've been trying to suppress the work of Nubudrali try to say that he plagiarized the Holy Quran when he said in the Quran that this knowledge is ancient and comes down from our ancient mothers and fathers. And so you have a lot of liars who have been trying to misrepresent Nubudrali. And also Nubudrali said he prepared and he said the half has not been told, because he knew that once those people who were sincere, sincerity is very key, would start doing research, they would find keys here and there, which he left throughout all of his literature, that would lead you to that ancient Saba knowledge is the foundation of all true religion, which is cosmology and a study of the moon and the sun, which is why the ancient cosmological name for North America or Northwestern Mexico is the Temple of the Moon and Sun. And that is a fact, because that is the ancient Sabian culture. And you'll find that our concepts, when he speaks of Mecca, he's actually not just talking about the Mecca there, but it's actually more than one place, which most of you, when you begin to study, will find out. And you'll go back to that Sabian culture and recognize that Saba culture is Sheba, and Sheba is the earth, and Sheba is Mary, and Mary is Midgard earth, and Jesus is the sun in the sky, etc. And also that Sheba is guided by this first sphere, closest sphere, which is the moon, which is the source of the ecology and economy and blood, of the consanguinity and the life sources on the earth, etc. And the movement of the tides, etc. And so all of the anthropomorphic phrases and stories that have been told, the Adepts need to stop keeping the people in mystery and take the things out of their anthropomorphic perspective and tell the people the truth of the Sabian culture. And then the people can start relating to the culture more realistically and not keep looking at it from a data perspective of gathering ancient African and Egypt culture and making statements and looking, trying to look Egyptian what their perspective is, and actually learning the Sabian culture from which that all has root. And that is the truth.
Wow, this has, I have sat back and I have quite a few notes. You know, it's like you learn something new every time that you are present and you're speaking to the people. And tonight you're speaking to the nationals. Now we have our last 11 minutes. Do you have some words of wisdom, encouragement as we continue forth the movement of the Moorish National Divine Movement to help uplift fallen humanity? Do you have any words for us this evening?
I would say this. Look at the cover of the questionnaire, and as the prophet say, have a greater respect for womanhood, and this would logically include many things that we need to look at in studying ourselves and look and study where we have come up short. And most of us, men and women, keep falling victim to the psychology that has been taught over the years under the hybrid European alien operations of having men and women compete with each other rather than complement each other. And every time you see that spirit of competition come in, we need to dismiss it and come back together like yin and yang and understand that the nature of life on the planet is a matriarchy and not be offended by it. And women need to look at themselves and relook at themselves and take their positions on the planet without arrogance and without an arrogant or what you would call competitive mentality that has been taught that actually creates division, and actually learn to love the self and learn to love that it is the nature of our existence, not of our opinion, that once you really begin to study self, that we will start coming back in harmony, because then nature herself comes to our aid. So therefore, Saba is the key. Sheba, earth, is the key. Mary, the earth is the key. Saba, Sheba, Mary is our estate. For her to be healed, we must be healed. Honor your mothers and your fathers, that your days may be longer on Midgard earth, and we can work towards restoring our right of estate and all of the power, gold, silver, and commerce that goes with it, with honor, with integrity, with unselfishness, and with regard to the love of life and learning and maintenance of all life forms on Midgard planet. With that, I yield the floor.
Well, thank you, Grand Sheik. Thank you very much for speaking to the Nationals this evening. And what I'd like to do is bring forth, because we have an erudition class that's starting on Sunday, April the 19th, with Brother Hassan Ghazal Bey. We'd like to give him a quick commercial time before we yield for the evening.
Islam and greetings. And trust that it's great. Because one of the things I want to say is the brother has been extremely erudite in his work of studying, sharing, and promoting cosmology culture of the ancient Sabians.
Islam.
All right, you want to give us some information regarding Sunday's class that's coming up?
All the praises to the balance. This Sunday, of course, this is starting. This is April 19th, 2020. It begins at 11:25 anti-meridian Eastern. That's a.m. Eastern until about 4 p.m. And we are going to do the first class for the Astrology 101 workshop, which is briefly going in on an introduction. We're going to go into the glyphs, what those glyphs are termed being, and what the houses are and what their keywords are. And the goal overall, by the time we get to the fifth class for the Astrology 101 workshop, is so that people can actively utilize and practically utilize astrology to begin doing exactly what Brother Taj spoke on today and what things are going on as far as United Respublica of Morocco as well. So I would say also tonight, right after this presentation I'm setting up now, I'll be going live on YouTube to basically just briefly go in on practically utilizing astrology. How can it be done? So just looking at astrology, how can you use it in real life? With that, I yield the floor. Islam.
Now, where about on YouTube? On YouTube, where can you be found on YouTube?
See, I knew you was going to do that, and that's why I love working with you, Tamara. It's going to be at Seven Hill Star channel. I'm sorry, I was trying not to be verbose, but I forgot important things. So the Seven Hill Star All Rights Reserved YouTube channel. Alrighty, and that's where I'll be going live, and I'll go into a little more detail about the class, the eleemosynary tuition that can be exchanged for students to, join us each week, and go into further detail of how the classes will be archived by you, because you're doing the recordings, Mother Tamara, and that's, you've been doing a great job in recording the classes as well, so that the students can go back and refer. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. And Brother Taj, thank you so much again with gracing us with your energy, just that alone, just the energy alone. I mean, other words would just be fluffing it up, but just the energy alone and your sincerity to allow us to be able to check ourselves. And I would say that first and foremost, so I could check myself to be able to get rid of the dross so that I can have my soul evolve bit by bit throughout, the days and the lifetimes that we tarry upon this plane. So with that, I yield the floor. Islam.
Okay, and that's
Islam
seven, not the seven, S-E-V-E-N, it's the number seven, Hill, H-E-A-L, star, S-T-A-R, tube site. So we want to make sure that we have that correct, so that way we know where to. So immediately after the show, go to YouTube, our show that will go into the breakdown for the starting the class on Seven Hill Star with Brother Hassan Ghazal. And before I close out, I just want to give something to those Nationals before we close out. Because as I was walking along the pathway of going for my walk before starting this lecture this evening, I was a little nervous and excited about it at the same time. But this, because of what are we going through, of course, the parks is not as packed as they normally would be with people getting their proper exercise and the grace of Ra upon them, which they should be doing. But what came across to me is Revelation 22:2, in which we all should really pay attention to that because it gives us our keys, our cosmology. And it say, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nation. So there we go, nationals. Our healing is in Gaia. Our healing is in Midgard. Our healing is in our nationality, pedigree, inheritance. That is our healing for the nationals. I yield the floor for that tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to State of the Nationals. Please continue to join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, United Republica of Morocco. Again, thank you, Grand Sheik. Thank you very much for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and your legacy will continue to move forward in the future. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Islam and peace.